This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Billy Joe Shaver, wrote many of the songs that defined country music's outlaw movement in the 70s. His songs broke out of the slick Nashville style. He wrote all but one of the songs on Waylon Jennings' 1973 album, Honky Tonk Heroes. John Anderson had a number one country hit with Shaver's song, Old Chunk of Coal. Willie Nelson often performed Shaver's Georgia on a Fast Train. Although Shaver has recorded several albums over the years, he remains better known as a songwriter than a singer. His new album has gotten many rave reviews. It's called Tramp on Your Street. The musician playing the guitar licks behind him is his son Eddie, who used to be Dwight Yoakam's guitarist. Let's get started with Georgia on a Fast Train from Billy Joe Shaver's new album, Tramp on Your Street.
On a rainy, windy morning, that's the day I was born in that old sharecropper's one-room country shack. This ain't my mammy left me, same day that she had me, said she hit the road and never once looked back. And now, that's all I'd mention, my grandma's old age pension is the reason why I'm standing here today. I got all my country learning, milking and a-churning, digging cotton, raising, hailing, baling hay. I've been to Georgia on a fast train, honey, I wasn't born no yesterday. Got a good Christian raising and an 8th grade education. Ain't no needin' y'all are treating me this way.
Billy Joe Shaver, welcome to Fresh Air.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you.
You're better known as a songwriter than a singer. Do you enjoy performing and do you enjoy doing your own songs?
Yes, I do. I can't imagine how it would be to do other people's songs because it's such a wonderful thing to be able to do your own tunes. You get to catch that little capsule of time that you invented there, and you get to step into it for that moment.
Now, from what I understand from your songs, you didn't start performing until after years of working jobs, of doing manual labor.
Yes, I actually had an accident in a sawmill, and I had to pull off my two fingers on this right hand, and then another one got the end of it knocked off, and the little finger got kind of banged up, but I still got a good thumb on that hand, that's what happened to me, and then I decided I would start writing songs and playing the guitar after that.
So you sawed off your fingers at an accident in a sawmill?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How did you end up playing guitar after that?
I was about 28 years old then, and it hit me that I should be doing what I'm supposed to do, because I'd been writing all that time since I was a little kid. I'd been singing and stuff, and I just never had got serious with the guitar yet, and so when this happened, right at the very moment it happened, it just hit me right in the heart that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I guess if I hadn't had these things cut off, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. But anyway, something has to kind of hit me over the head before I figure it out. But the reason I started playing guitar, I guess, it was the hardest thing for me to do, too. And my arm was in bad shape. They had to put electrodes on it to make it start moving again. It swole up. I almost lost it. And playing the guitar helped it,
No, so it's your right hand that you sawed off your fingers on?
Yeah.
So what do you do, like?
I fret with my left hand and just whack away at it with my right.
Do you use a pick?
No, I don't. I just use my fingers and my thumb and my little finger. So I'm not a great guitar player, but I play good enough that I can write songs and play in front of people, so it's no big deal.
So once you decided that you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing, what you should be doing is playing music and writing songs, what did you do to start off on that new life?
I just started doing it. I just started writing songs, and I got me some good songs together, and I went up to Nashville. And then about in 71 or so, Bobby put out a song that I wrote, Ride Me Down Easy, and it went number one country. And then Waylon Jennings did a whole album of songs called Honky Tonk Heroes. And Johnny Rodriguez had a hit on one called I Couldn't Be Me Without You. And then Old Chunk of Coal, John Anderson had a hit with. And Elvis Presley, Bob Dylan, Kris Kristofferson, Tom T. Hall, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, just people just started recording my tunes.
Which song did Elvis do?
Elvis did one called Just Because You Asked Me To. Is a song that Waylon and I wrote together.
Can you sing a couple of bars of that?
Long ago and far away, in my old common labor shoes, I turned the world all which ways, just because you asked me to. Anyway, the chorus is, let the world call me a fool, but if things are right with me and you, it's all that matters, and I'll do anything you ask me to.
Now, how did Elvis record it, and what did you think of his recording of it?
Well, I didn't know he'd recorded it until he was already gone. He did two versions of it on just album cut, so there's nothing, no single or anything.
Huh. I want to play something else from your new album, Tramp on Your Street. I want to play the song If I Give My Soul, which I think might be my favorite on the record. And this is a song wondering if you gave your soul to Jesus, would your life change, and would your family love you more. Let me play the song, and then I'll ask you about writing it.
Okay.
I had a woman once. She was kind and she was gentle. Had a child by me who grew up to be a man. I had a steady job till I started into drinking. Then I started making music, traveling with the devil band. All the years flew by like a mighty rush of eagles. Our dreams and plans were all scattered.
Billy Joe Shaver from his new album, Tramp on Your Street, and he wrote that song. It's called If I Give My Soul. The son that you're singing about, who you left mm-hmm. in that song, is that your son Eddie who plays guitar with you now?
Yes, that's my only child. Yeah, he lost a lot of respect for me because of the things that I was doing in this business, and I won't say in this business, I mean it's just the things that I got caught up in. Like a lot of other people, but...
What kinds of things?
Well, you know, alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. running around. Just, I was, I guess, the king of sinners, as far as I was concerned. But I got myself straightened out, and it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I got myself straightened out. Now, I don't know how other people do it, to each his own, but that's how I done it.
So you did give your soul?
Yes, I did.
What was the turning point for you of deciding to change?
Oh, what really happened was it happened when I wrote the song Old Chunk of Coal. I actually had a vision of Jesus sitting on the end of my bed shaking his head. And I went out to a place out at the Narrows of the Harpeth River. That's a cliff up on top. And there's like altars that are the wind, rain, or something, hewing them out up there. There's one big one, and it's right on the edge of the cliff. And for some reason or another, I drove out there in the middle of the night and went up that path, which is pretty treacherous anyway. And I got up there and decided that I was either going to end it or whatever was going to happen with me. And I found myself on my knees right there at the edge of that cliff with and my head down in my hands and asking the Lord to forgive me and God to forgive me and for the Lord to help me. And I hadn't written a song in a long time. And I remember I was having a hard time just putting a sentence together. I was so messed up. But we were making money then, so I was able to keep going, you know, and keep supplying myself with the things that were killing me. But I went ahead and asked God to help me, and a lot of things went on up there. It'd be too long to go into, but I came down the trail singing this song, "Old Chunk of Coal," and the whole first part of the song, whole first half of the song, by the time I got down to the end of the trail, was written. And then it took me about 6 more months, and I wrote the other part.
Will you sing "Old Chunk of Coal" on your new CD? So why don't we hear a little bit of that? And this is Billy Joe Shaver.
I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. Now I'm gonna grow and glow till I'm so blue, perfect. Gonna put a smile on everybody's face. I'm gonna kneel and pray every day, lest I should become vain along the way. I'm just an old chunk of coal now, Lord, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday.
So you wrote "Old Chunk of Coal" after...
That was back, many years back.
Yeah.
But it took a long time to get back the respect of the people that I loved.
Uh-huh. Did you get back to your family after?
Well, no, really. We were divorced the last time in 1986, and I'm not back with her, no.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everything happens for the best, I think. But my son's with me and playing with me, and he'll stay with me until I get my feet on the ground with this thing, and... Then I mean he'll fly away.
And then what? Then he'll fly away?
Yeah, he'll fly away and do his own thing.
So you think that he's playing with you to help you out through this period?
Yes, I am. I'm sure of that, yeah.
Did he know your songs when, even in that period when he was angry with you and
mm-hmm.
you weren't close, do you think your music still had an impact on him?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably the one that has more trouble with forgiving myself than other people do, but I finally did.
My guest is country music songwriter and singer Billy Joe Shaver. His new album is called Tramp on Your Street. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with Billy Joe Shaver. Your songs helped start what became known as the outlaw country movement in the 70s, and Waylon Jennings recorded... I think 11 of your songs on...
10 of them on
Honky Tonk Heroes.
Honky Tonk Heroes album.
Yeah. That was in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Waylon Jennings joins you on a couple of tunes on the new record. Why don't we hear Heart of Texas?
Papa run off before I was born. Mama picked cotton just to raise us kids in the Texas sun. We grew up in the cotton fields. So I learned how to work and I learned how to fight. I learned how to put a bunch of words together as the years rolled by. God gave me a way to go. When my sweetheart listened to the songs I played, she said, I love you, honey, but there ain't much money in the serenade. I need a man with a real job. Now she's back there where I left her. God knows I still think about her now and then. But she knows these clothes I'm wearing is the kind that shirt tails always flapping in the wind.
Billy Joe Shaver from his new album, Tramp on Your Street. Where in Texas did you grow up? Tell us something about that place.
I was born in Corsicana, Texas. And it's about 53 miles northeast of Waco, Texas. And I lived there until I was 12 years old. My grandmother raised me, and she passed on when I was 12, and I went to Waco, Texas, and lived with my mother. And she had married a Bohemian fellow up there, and I stayed there with them until I went in the Navy. And I went in the Navy when I was 16, so.
The song says your mother left when you were born.
Yeah, I know on the one on George on the Fast Train or on in this one. No, George on the Fast Train, it says, they say my mammy left me the same day that she had me.
Yeah, is that true?
Well, not really. Her and my father, I didn't meet my father until I was nearly grown, but my father beat her up pretty bad and kicked her around and everything, and even when I was inside of her. And so she went to get work, actually, is what happened. She had to go to Waco and went to work in a honky-tonk so that she could send money back to my grandmother and raise us.
What did she do at the honky-tonk?
She was a honky-tonk girl. She just a waitress-type person. Her and this old gal named Blanche, they run that place I refer to as the Green Gables in Honky Tonk Heroes. Of course, mm-hmm. I don't have a cut of that, but that's where that song came from.
Did you ever get close to your mother in later life?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, my mother's name is Victory. That's her real name. She and I are just as close as you can get. I love her very much, and she did a lot of sacrifices for me and my sister. I have one sister. And I love my father also. He's passed away, but I love him too.
So tell me something about your early musical life.
Oh, when I was just a kid, from the time that I remember I started talking, I was singing. And we didn't have a radio. My grandmother lived with her. But I would every once in a while hear one, you know, and I'd hear somebody singing this and that. And I would just go ahead and sing that part of it and just make the rest of it up myself and pat my foot. No guitar or anything, just pat my foot and sing. I was just a little kid, and people liked to hear me. And I remember my grandmother, she had credit down at the general store down the road, and sometime her old age pension check wouldn't come in. And we'd go down there and get an extension on credit, and she would ask the lady if she could get an extension on credit. And the lady knew that I sang, and she said, well, yeah, if you stand that boy up on that Cracker Barrel there and let him sing a tune or two, I'll let you have it, you know. And I thought I was really singing for my supper, so I sang my heart out.
What kind of songs would you sing?
I'd sing like some Roy Acuff type things and Pins and Needles in My Heart and stuff like that.
Now, how much sense do these songs make to a six-year-old?
not very much, but I started writing my own songs.
When you were that young?
Yes, I did. I would write about what was going down with me.
Like what?
Oh, I can't remember exactly everything. Most of them was kind of funny.
You know what I wanted to ask you? This gets back to your accident when you sawed off your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you remember what your very first thought was when you realized you'd sawed your fingers off?
Yeah. I said, oh, my God. How am I going to do what I'm really supposed to do now? And I just kicked myself in the ass, you know, for being so clumsy and cutting my, you know, and causing my fingers to, I just really, really got after myself about it, because I knew ahead of time what I was supposed to be doing, but I just kept pushing it away.
Did you take your fingers with you to the hospital?
Yes, I did. I scooped them up out of the sawdust there, and I went and got in my pickup, and I drove over to the doctor's office. We had a company doctor. And he's an old Navy doctor. His name's Tab. And that was in Waco. William Cameron was the place where I was working. And I brought the fingers up to him, and he said, hey, boy, he said, you got some trouble there, don't you? I said, yeah, I sure do. I said, I'd like for you to sew these fingers back on. He said, well, I never heard of such. He said, you can't sew fingers back. I said, well, I told him, I said, you know, I'd read this article about these Japanese people sewing fingers and stuff back on. And then, of course, he reminded me we were in Waco, Texas, and and that wasn't gonna work. And there was a nurse there though that wanted the fingers.
For what?
I said, what do you want these things for? She said, well, you're not gonna use them, are you? And I said, no, I ain't gonna use them. I said, well, what are you gonna do with them? She said, I'm gonna put them in a jar. She's a black lady, and it would have been strange no matter what color you were. But anyway, she went ahead and took the fingers. I let her have them, and as far as I know, she stuck them in a jar and kept them. I don't know. Might be people dancing around them right now. I ain't got no idea.
That would be an interesting exhibit to have your home. Did people tell you that it wouldn't be possible for you to play guitar and that it was foolish to even try?
No, nobody messed with me on that. I was lucky that I didn't. They were talking about even cutting my arm off. I was lucky that I got to keep my arm.
Did you have to try to talk the doctors out of cutting your arm
off?
Yes,
I did.
Mm-hmm. How did you?
I told them that it wasn't going to happen.
Well, there's a song I want to end with, and it's called "Live Forever." Would you tell us something about the song?
Yes, my son Eddie gave me this melody. And I carried it around with me for about 6 months, I guess. And I would listen to it and try to figure out what was going to come in to fill that melody up. It's such a wonderful melody. And finally this came across, the words and came into the melody. And then Eddie helped me a little bit with the words again, too. And so he and I wrote this together. And it pretty much says how I feel about the whole thing.
That's a great song.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you.
Billy Joe Shaver is my guest. His new album is called Tramp on Your Street. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.